Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal. Let's
go!
A very good Friday to you and yours. Welcome on in. It is the Sports Hub, daily sports talk show Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Make sure to smash that like button on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. That's where the video stream is right here and right now. And of course, 1420 on the AM dial. You want that nice, crisp, clean signal. You can listen to that here in town as well, and the surrounding areas at 98.5 as well. Glad to be with you on this Friday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. My name is David Tewksbury. Thanks again for joining us. A loaded show for you here today. It is the season opener for Brown County Speedway here tonight. The pits open up at 5, the gates at 5 as well. Racing begins at 7 o'clock tonight. We'll have one of the voices, their lead voice anyway, this year at Brown County Speedway as Rusty Rocket. He'll be joining us here in the next 10 to 15 minutes on the program. Preview of the night tonight, perhaps a brief recap of last year, and what's on tap for the season ahead of us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen in the next 10 to 15 minutes. And then towards the bottom of the hour, new head coach for the Dakota Wesleyan men's basketball squad. That'll be Sam Nicholson. He'll be joining us as well towards the bottom of the hour, a program that's had some changing of the guard over the last handful of years. I mean, this will be the third coach in 3 years. I mean, there's been some great success there. There's no two ways about it. Matt Wilbur did an incredible job for a lot of years down there in Mitchell. And then you've got a new head coach comes in there, Kevin Williamson, brings them to a 20-win season this last year. And then he is now headed east to Madison. He's now the new head coach for Dakota State. And enter Sam Nicholson into the fold. We'll see what he's got in store for the Tigers, and he'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. Looking forward to that discussion with him. And can that team continue to rise through the GPAC? It's a very, very good conference. I would probably submit to you, in my opinion, at or near the top of the best in all of the NAIA. I think the Frontier Conference is going to be very, very interesting next year as well, but I don't know, man. The GPAC is pretty tough to beat, so I think that's going to be a very, very interesting not only conference, but it'll be a fun matchup when Dakota State plays Dakota Wesleyan. I think extra bragging rights, it means more typically on a standard, you know, Friday or Saturday, or sometimes a Tuesday when those two teams play each other. It's very, very, very competitive. The crowds are very, very, very into it. The fan bases are very active, which is awesome. But I think now that you've got a coach that jumps from Dakota Wesleyan now to Dakota State, does that give a little extra added incentive, a little extra spark to that fire, perhaps? A little more gasoline on that flame, more accurately? I think it does. We'll see with Sam Nicholson towards the bottom of the hour. We'll take his 2 cents on that sort of thing and what the future looks like for the Tigers of Dakota Wesleyan. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by
Mr. Unlimited.
Oh no, Mr. Unlimited's still not here. He is not here, but he'll be back in studio on Monday right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Final day of his vacation, or at least for the vacation in the standard work week anyway, but back in action here on Monday. Looking forward to having him back in studio. But looking forward to the show for you here today on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And speaking of things to look forward to, we've got the Kentucky Derby tomorrow. And I'll be honest with you, I am not a huge horse racing guy. It's fine. You know, it's interesting. It's an event. And that's just it. It's an event. It's kind of a party on a party atmosphere. We'll talk about the Mint Julep here in just a second. Plus, towards the back half of the show, we'll talk some golf action. A lot of golf yesterday in the Hub City as Olivia Braun and the Aberdeen Central Girls Golf Squad, they pieced together a 295 collectively. And what does that mean? That means all of the student athletes that qualified for scores yesterday for the Golden Eagles were locked in. And I mean, you're talking the best score in program history collectively, a 295. The team, 11 over par. Mitchell in second place, 28 over. Aberdeen Roncalli in third there, 53. So I tell you what, it's a really, really solid start to the season there. And for the third time in four meets on the individual side of things, Olivia Braun, your medalist. So we'll talk about that later on in the program as well. And hey, just as an aside here, speaking of golf, I saw this on social media. We're going to talk about the horse racing here in just a second with the birth of the Mint Julep. And full disclosure, I've never had a Mint Julep before. I've never tasted it. I've heard good things. But I saw this morning out in the Twin Cities. For all of you Minnesota Vikings fans, and for a guy like me who's a Seattle Seahawks fan, this is a guy that played for both of our franchises. I use the word our like, you know, I'm a part of it. But John Randall, one of the great defensive tackles for a lot of years in the National Football League, of course, a Hall of Famer, and he played for the Seahawks, played for the Vikings. I think it's fair to say made his bones with the Minnesota Vikings, no two ways about it. But John Randall is a golfer. John Randall is a golfer. Nothing wrong with that. But what's wrong about this picture that I see on social media is he's golfing in 45-degree weather, man. I don't understand how anybody can do such a thing. There are the diehards out there, and it looks to me like John Randall is officially a diehard. He's got his Vikings kind of Santa hat on. He's got a cigar hanging out of his mouth. And you know how quarterbacks, they've got the little pouch and the wide receivers? I think that used to be kind of a thing more so in the 80s and 90s, maybe even early 2000s to a certain degree. You don't really see a whole heck of a lot anymore. But they used to have the little pouch. You know, you put your hands in the pouch on the front side of the jersey or sometimes in the back side of the jersey. You just don't see that a whole heck of a lot. But he's got a Skoll Vikings little pouch. He's got his hands in there. But, man, 45 degrees in golf weather, probably, you know, stiff 10, 15, 20-mile-per-hour breeze. That's just not enjoyable. Not enjoyable at all. And full disclosure, I used to work at a country club, and you'd get your diehards out there. It's 42 degrees, 20-mile-per-hour winds. There's some light rain in the mist, in the mix. It's just, it's not enjoyable. It's not enjoyable at all. But for the diehards out there, I salute you. More power to you. I'm going to hang out inside with my coffee here. Thank you very much. And relax. I am not into the 40-degree temperatures and playing golf. But for those of you that are, more power to you. Okay, got to get to this because this upcoming weekend, you've got the Kentucky Derby, and it's big hats, it's bets, and of course, bourbon. Time for the Kentucky Derby. The Derby takes place tomorrow, and whether you watch in person or you enjoy the scene from a home or a party or something like, chances are you may do so with a mint julep in hand. It's mint. It's sugar, you've got crushed ice, and bourbon. That's all you need to recreate the leafy southern sipper. But there's an art to the longtime staple of the drink that's become synonymous with the race. Nearly 120,000 mint juleps will be served over the next 2 days there at Churchill Downs, according to Racetrack, and according to the Racetrack, and an amount that requires, get this, over 10,000 bottles of bourbon, 1,000 pounds of freshly harvested mint, and 60,000 pounds of ice. Mint julep became the official drink in the 1930s, according to Sarah Brown Meehan, the former director of lifestyle communications there at Churchill Downs. They started serving it in souvenir julep cups back in the 1937, to be precise. Meehan added the drink was clearly a Kentucky Derby tradition well before the 30s when it became quote-unquote official. It's even been believed that Churchill Downs planted mint juleps, or make that mint outside for the mint juleps, of course, outside the clubhouse there for the first Kentucky Derby's juleps back in 1875. She says, quote, "We know that juleps were a big part of the event by Prohibition because the press at the time lamented the Kentucky Derby without its favorite and flavorful drink," close quote. So there you have it, the mint julep and its origin story back in the 1800s and late 1930s, official drink there in 1937. And like I said earlier, I have never had a mint julep before. I've always been curious to try one. Maybe I will at some point in time, but the mint julep there are definitely going to be downed by a couple of folks tomorrow, I would imagine. And speaking of things I lament, do you guys remember, it wasn't that long ago, do you remember out at Brown County Speedway, we used to have the Dollar Horse Racing Day? Do you remember this? Is this just me? Am I taking crazy pills? Am I the only person that misses Dollar Beer Day out at the Brown County Speedway when it was the horse racing? Now, I don't know how long this was a thing because I moved to Aberdeen in August of 2015. And my first couple of years here, they had horse racing out there, north side of town, and they had Dollar Beer Day. And I remember there was all this talk about, oh, the horse racing, it's going to go away, and that's, you know, such a shame. And it is a shame. And I said, you know how you get it back? Dollar Beer Day. Bring it back. You pour it, the people will come. Okay? You pour it, the people will come. Dollar Beer Day? Are you kidding? Man, that was a lot of fun. I spent a couple bucks out there that one year, and it was a lot of fun. I didn't do any betting. I'm not a big horse racing bet guy, but it was an absolute blast. And Dollar Beer Day, I lament that at the Brown County Speedway. That was more so on the horse racing side of things, though, of course, not on the racing side. Speaking of the racing from the car's perspective, we'll talk about that coming up next. It's the season opener tonight at Brown County Speedway. Voice of the Speedway is Rusty Rocket. He'll be joining us live in studio coming up next right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at HubCityRadio.com. As always, would encourage you to download the Hub City Radio app today, and you can take us wherever you go. Voice of the Speedway, Rusty Rocket, joins us next live in studio right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at HubCityRadio.com. Smash that like button on the Facebook stream there and share that as well. It is opening night at Brown County Speedway tonight, brought to you in part by us here at Hub City Radio. And we've got the voice of the Speedway here live in studio. He's always here in house. He's Rusty Rocket. How are you, sir?
Doing well. How are you doing, Tukes?
It's Friday. I've got some coffee here. I'm a happy camper.
That's a good start to the weekend. I mean, well, close to the weekend.
Yeah, close enough. Yeah, absolutely. I got to mow the lawn here later on this afternoon, so things are happening. Big day for yours truly in the afternoon.
Yes, absolutely. And it's a big day, you know, all around. It's getting to be that time of year. I'm trying to put off the lawn mowing as long as I can, but it's definitely about that time.
Yeah, as soon as we put the baby down last night, it was pull some weeds out there, and I realized I got to get this done tomorrow. So today is that tomorrow, and it's also an opportunity for Brown County Speedway to kind of get revved up once again. Looking forward to this. And you know, I said we're going to tease tonight, but let's take a look back at last year, if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. A really great, successful year this last year. I felt like we had a couple of great guests joining us live in the spring and summertime last year. Just an overall another great year last year in 24.
Yeah, you know, we had a really good, strong season, great car counts all year long, great racing action throughout the season as well, you know. And even when you look at Brown County Speedway versus a lot of the tracks around the area, the big thing that we maintained was that car count. You know, because when you're dealing with Fridays and Sundays, sometimes they're the toughest because you don't know, can people make it on Fridays after work, get there in time? You know, when you start at 7, you figure anybody traveling a couple hours is going to have to leave work early. But we still, I mean, I think we were probably close to 100 cars almost every night. And, you know, and then you look at Sundays is a little bit tougher because the opposite side of it, people got to get home, so it gets late. So those are the two nights that you're always kind of like, man, can we maintain this car count all year long? And luckily here on Brown County Speedway on Friday nights last year, it was just strong all year. And I think tonight's going to be massive, honestly, for car count.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to that. And the biggest part about a Friday night in, well, any time of the year for that matter, but in early May is the weather.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that we don't want to talk about too much. But on our forecast, they've gone from partially sunny to mostly sunny. So I think we're going to be in pretty good shape.
I really do, too. I think it's going to be one of those where, as fans, you're going to want to bundle up, bring some layers. It's going to get chilly, you know, when sun goes down and temps dropping out of the mid-30s overnight. You know, but you bundle up, and these early races and late-season races are a lot the same. You know, but this time of year, the nice thing is that we're coming out of the cold into the warm, so it's like sometimes it feels a little better than 60 in the spring feels better than 60 in the fall, I feel like, you know. But definitely going to be a great night out there weather-wise, you know, and we got moisture throughout the week, which honestly is a good thing, especially as early in the week as it was on Monday. The Wednesday showers worried me a little just because we got so much on Monday, but the way it sounds, I was talking to somebody that was out at the pits last night, in fact, hanging signs and stuff, and Shelby said it's a little soft in some spots, but overall it was pretty good, so everything should be good as far as that's concerned. And honestly, that can help the track because all that moisture gets soaked into the racetrack throughout the week, so hopefully you can do less track prep throughout the night and keep the race surface smooth and fast and some moisture in it just so that it doesn't get so dried out and one lane sometimes.
Rusty Rocket joining us live in the studio. That was going to be my next question, is how did the racetrack kind of make it through the winter and the early stages of the spring here? It sounds like pretty good.
Yeah, you know, I mean, really, the winter doesn't impact it a whole lot, and really even those showers on Monday aren't going to change the track a ton. It soaks in, but at the same point, the bigger issue they cause is more the infield and outside of the turns and on the horse track and in the pits, because you get all that standing water because there's so many flat areas and places just for the water not to go. So the track itself, you know, I mean, with the high banks and everything, a lot of it rolls off, especially like you mentioned with winter. You know, the track's pretty hard packed at the end of the season, so a lot of that just sits on top of it and probably even packs it in more. So then they got out there and they kind of tear it open a little bit and blade it and stuff. And we ran Test and Tune last week or 2 weeks ago.
It was last week.
And everybody I've talked to said the track was just phenomenal. It was fast. It was smooth. And drivers that were here were very happy. We had 80 cars out there for Test and Tune last week, which is insane to think about that. But, you know, this time of year, it's so early in the season. People are just itching to get out. And, you know, even if it's just for practice to kind of shake it down and feel things out and make sure that you're not going to encounter any kind of problems and or hopefully encounter them then and get it tuned up in time for the racing itself.
Well, you said tonight should be a great night. I get a sense, and I think you've even talked about this, maybe we're talking in passing, that this could be maybe one of the best years of Brown County Speedway. Why do you say that?
You know, the big thing this year is we're continuing to build on the success of past years, you know, and you've got the promoting crew that's been doing it for, I think, 5 years now, and they got re-upped for the bid, so they're going to have it for several years going forward here. I think it's another five one-year deals, but that helps because they can put a little more into it, because at this point it's like, okay, we've already got this much accomplished, how do we build on it? So they're running more specials, you know, they're running some different classes throughout the years. The legend cars haven't been here in several years. They're kind of cool. They come out for a doubleheader in July. You got the street stock tour, always puts on a great show. You got a couple different late model tours that'll be in town. The tri-state late model series comes back, you know, and they're just trying to do more specials. In fact, another one that they're bringing back this year that we haven't had in a long time is at the very end of the year. We used to be like infamous Brown County Speedway was for the Winter Nationals. We were always one of the tracks that ran one of the last races of the year, and it's been a long time since we've done it, and this year they're bringing it back. And like we said, kind of like tonight, it's going to be a bundle up kind of night, but it's always so much fun to just kind of get that end of year send off and you get to the point where there's only a few tracks running, so you get a lot of cars and people are hungry to get a little more racing action in. So that's going to be a big one too. But you know, it's just there's a lot of buzz and a lot of excitement around the different specials and things that they've got on the schedule for this year.
The legend cars, what is that?
So the legend cars are they're actually like these tiny little cars. They had one, like if you were at Test and Tune or if you were at the car show a couple weeks ago in the mall, there was one of them, a local guy, TJ Pfeiffer, runs them, and they run up in Jamestown pretty regularly there. And you know, they're kind of hard to explain because they don't look like what you're used to seeing as far as most of the race cars around here. I'm trying to bring up a picture of one as we're talking here. Yeah, so here's like what they look like. They're little.
Oh, cool.
I mean, they're not go-karts. They're bigger than that. And they're race engines and everything. And they're full size.
Herbie? Was that movie with?
Yeah, kind of like the Herbie.
Yeah,
They're not quite VW Beetles, but I mean, that's kind of what they look like almost. You know, so the legend cars they're kind of a fun little class, and they'll be a part of one of the doubleheaders there in July because we actually have two doubleheaders in July this year. So yeah, it's kind of cool to see some different things and different classes featured out there.
Does it feel like it's continuing to grow? I mean, we did kind of a weekly conversation the last, 2 years or so during the spring and summertime, kind of building some buzz for Friday night. And it feels like there's a lot more people kind of coming in terms of the racers themselves. I mean, we talk about Trevor Nelson, and how great he's been. But it feels like that's kind of one of those classes, if memory serves, that was the street stocks, I think.
Super stocks.
Super stocks, pardon me. But like, it felt like that was one of those classes where there was more and more people kind of getting into it, more and more growth. Do you kind of get a sense that that's going to be another year of that with just more newer races, newer names, if you will?
Yeah, I really do. I think, you know, racing is the biggest thing that it does is it's got to continue to grow, obviously, with younger drivers. And that's your goal. I mean, it doesn't matter what age you are when you start, but the younger you get, the younger generation is what you need, you know, to really grow it for the long-term success. And there's more new drivers every year, it feels like, whether sometimes it's second or third generation drivers, you know, like Cody Lair drives the super stock, like you mentioned, the super stock division. This will be, I think, his third year in it. His dad, Dulwin Lair, raced for a lot of years and just after a few years said, you know what, Cody, it's your turn now. And, you know, and he's late teens, early 20s, I don't know for sure, but a young driver, you know, you got Chase Gelling, obviously he's taken the wheel quite a few years now, but that's the strength of the sport is growing with those future generations, whether it is second or third generation drivers or all around new drivers, you know, so I do feel like there'll be continued growth. And the other side of it is those drivers that have now, like I mentioned, Cody and Chase is perfect examples. They've got a couple of years under their belt, maybe a new car. I know Cody's got a different car this year. They start getting better and better each year, and you start seeing their names in the top fives and hopefully in victory lane, you know, so they can be up there challenging drivers like Trevor Dalsen and Ken Arment and these other drivers that are familiar faces to victory lane.
Well, you mentioned Kent. I'm glad you did, because you're sitting in Cobra's spot over there, and Cobra mentioned last year, and you said, that's a perfect description. It was a Cars reference. Now, I don't know Cars. I haven't seen Cars. I know I haven't seen Cars. It's one of those, it's on the list.
Yep.
But he was kind of the, was it Lightning McQueen or
yep.
something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, Kent's got to be primed for another great year, right?
Oh, yeah, yep. You know, Kent, the thing with Kent, though, is as good as he is, he's got so many irons in the fire, for one. You know, between running a business during the day, he's also part of the promotional group that runs the track, and then racing. So his program, his focus has moved so much more onto the track side of things that he's just got a great team around him that really makes that thing go, you know, and trying to run a modified and a late model still, you know. He only really runs Aberdeen pretty much anymore because, again, with all the other stuff going on, it's tough to do too much traveling and too many other tracks and things. But, you know, he's just always, you know, he's going to be a force. You know, Chad Becker is another one that he was right in the national points race right to the end of last season, ended up, I think, second or third national points, you know. And drivers like that that are just – they're just continued dominance. You know, Chad actually changed chassis companies this year. That's a big thing. Like, so the chassis is the frame itself. Like, the different companies build them slightly different, and then of course you get different support and things like that, you know. And he's changed, but that's one of the things that's exciting about the new season is like, how's that gonna run? Well, Chad's already raced a couple races, and which means that he's probably got a few things figured out, and knowing Chad and his crew, it's not going to take him long to get that 12 car dialed in and back to victory lane. So exciting just to see. That's one of the best things about opening night is what's new, you know, not only new looks but full-on new cars or people that change classes from street stocks to super stocks or modifieds and things like that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, when we're putting the sports together on the weekend and I'm starting to see some of those same familiar names, I'm like, okay, he's back or she's back sometimes.
Yep.
Is there maybe a new and up-and-comer that maybe you keep your ear to the ground pretty well and you kind of hear people talking, or maybe there's going to be some familiar faces that are back this year? Who are kind of some of those picks to click, if you will, that you're looking forward
you
to
know,
just tonight and going forward?
You know, I haven't really had a chance because nobody else having really raced yet around here. I mean, I-94 EMR Speedway there at Fergus Falls has gotten a race in already. They're scheduled for tonight, but they ended up getting canceled, you know, because of weather over there. But I haven't had a chance to watch much, so I really don't know a lot of the drivers that have changed. I know locally Jeremy Thorstenson has been running street stocks for as long as I can remember, really. He took a few years off with kids, and then his kids gave it a try last year. Well, this year, he's actually got a Midwest modified and a late model. Okay. So Jeremy's going to be going out there and doing double duty, while his daughter that raced the street stock a bit last year, she actually jumped back down into a Hornet, which we don't run the Hornets here. They're a front-wheel drive, smaller cars, kind of like your typical cars you'd see around town, like Chevy Cavaliers and things like that. So she'll run that. I don't know if maybe in Watertown, but, you know, it's exciting to see that. Like, Jeremy moved from the street stock class to Midwest modifieds and late model, something he's never done before. He toyed at the super stock for a little while, you know, so it'll be interesting to see how that adaption, how he adapts to that. You know, Watertown has been running this class called the limited late model, so they're the same concept. They look like the late models, but they have less adjustability underneath. Like, there's certain things that are more stock, or try to making it more affordable, basically, and a little bit less engine power to them to an extent, too. And there's been a couple of, that's one where you see some younger drivers get into it, and then a year or two later they jump into an actual late model, and man, they catch on in a hurry. And there's a kid down there that's been running really strong, a couple of younger drivers, future generation drivers, that I think would be worth keeping an eye on. And just in general, you know, kind of see who, you know, tonight we'll see who's new and who you can kind of tell. A lot of times you can see them like, okay, that guy's got it, you know, or that gal's got it. You can tell pretty early on some of these drivers' career when they're gonna how they're gonna do.
Well, as Pete Carroll used to say when he was the coach of the Seahawks, we'll have to wait and see. Pitts at 5 tonight. Pitts and Gates at 5. Racing begins at 7 o'clock. We're talking Wasota Street Stocks, late models, Midwest mods, modifieds, and super stocks. It's presented by Hub City Radio tonight. Anything else you'd like to hit on before we let you go?
I want to see those stands packed, because I'm telling you, there are going to be a lot of cars here, I think. Like I mentioned, I-94 EMR Speedway in Fergus Falls is canceled due to weather. The only track in the region really racing is Mandan, and that's a haul. So I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of drivers coming out. It's early in the year. They want to get their feet wet. They want to get their cars out there and feel them out. You know, I haven't talked to anybody to find out for sure, but you got Cole Searing down in here on does a lot of traveling series and things. Well, they're not started yet. Nobody else is racing around here. He might be here. You might see Tyler Peterson, defending national champion from up in Fargo area from Hicks in North Dakota. Maybe he comes down because he's usually pretty regular at Fergus Falls. You know, I don't know for sure, but I have a pretty good feeling we're going to see a lot of cars on hand, and it could be a really fun night. And, looking forward to it. You mentioned Gates at 5, races at 7. Tickets in advance are only available this week in the My Race Pass app. It's a free app to download, and I tell you what, as a fan, it's a great app to have anyway, because you can see lineups from all the tracks, you can see results and everything, so it's a great way to stay up to date with racing in general. It's free on Apple and iPhone. It's just, again, My Race Pass, and right in there you can buy your advance tickets. They're the same prices there at the door, but it's still nice to be able to not have to wait in line to get your ticket and then go through the line to get in. So cut the line and get your ticket there in the My Race Pass app.
And oh, by the way, it's opening night.
Yes.
It's opening night.
It's exciting.
There you go. Presented by Hub City Radio. Voice of the Speedway, Rusty Rocket. Thanks for popping in. Have a great call tonight.
Thank you, Dukes. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Rusty Rocket here live in studio. Looking forward to that tonight. It all gets underway at 7 o'clock, north side of town. Sam Nicholson, head coach of the Dakota Wesleyan men's basketball squad. He'll join us after a timeout. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen for this finally Friday installment of the show here on FSA. Our thanks to Rusty Rocket for taking some time out of his busy schedule and joining us live in studio. Speaking of busy, dude with his nose to the grindstone, let's travel down south to Mitchell, new head coach of the Tigers of Dakota Wesleyan men's basketball squad, Sam Nicholson. He joins us on the phone line. Coach, good to talk with you. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
It is our pleasure, for sure. And every time we've got a guest who's on the program for the first time, we got to drop in one of these. Custom around these parts right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. So you know Mitchell quite well. You were hired with that program here not that long ago. But now being elevated to the new head coaching position, has it kind of sunk in yet? What's the last handful of days and week kind of looked like for you?
It's been really wild. Obviously, I had accepted a position at another school, and I have a ton of respect for Coach Kasterbauer and his program, and it was hard, right? But when this process kind of unfolded and I knew that it would be efficient, I knew that it was an opportunity I had to take. I have moved a lot in my young career, but every time it's gotten a little harder, you know, and the Mitchell community and playing in the Corn Palace and having the community support that we have, it really was kind of a bad feeling in my gut leaving. And so when this opportunity arose, I mean, I was elated. It's a huge responsibility and a huge step for me, but with the support that I have from the AD, the associate AD and President Kittle, I just knew that this was a good spot to try to get my first start as a head coach.
Well, that's just it, is because if memory serves correctly, I saw it on social media, I think it was Upper Iowa, that you were going to be an assistant there for that squad and what that kind of looked like in the not-too-distant future. And then, boom, Dakota Wesleyan comes open, and you kind of hit on that a little bit. How difficult is it to say, okay, I'm going here, and then very, very quickly a new position opens for something that you know so well there in Mitchell? Is it difficult to kind of for lack of a better term, kind of renege on the one job and then go back to where you were in the first place? Was that kind of tough?
Yeah, I mean, I think most people that know me, they know I'm an incredibly loyal person. And it's hard, right? But thankfully I've got good relationships with both sides, and they understood. I mean, everyone knows how hard it is to get a shot at being a head coach, and there's a lot of guys that go their whole career without getting that opportunity. And the timing, it was just unfortunate, but I think everyone is genuinely excited and understand that it's something that you got to pursue.
Sam Nicholson joining us here, new head coach for Dakota Wesleyan on Fox Sports Aberdeen. So where do you begin? Is it kind of a deal to get everybody kind of back in the same room a little bit? Do you do a team-wide Zoom? Obviously, you know these guys already, but where do you begin now from the assistant coach now to the head coach?
Yeah, as soon as I accepted the position, the first thing I did was I met with every player in the program individually. And there were guys that were looking to leave, and there were guys in all different situations. And I just wanted them to know that I care about them as people. And I voiced that I wanted them with our program. And there are situations where I told them, hey, if a better option is elsewhere, let's make that work for you. But the biggest thing was letting them know how I felt about them as human beings, and that I was going to help them every step of the way, no matter which direction they chose to go. We're keeping almost everybody. We're keeping the core. And last night I had them over for a cookout just before finals started. And we feel like we didn't miss a step. Right. So then the next step is recruiting. What pieces can we add for this upcoming year? And then winning back the state of South Dakota in the 26 class and really trying to solidify ourselves right where we left off.
Sam Nicholson's our guest, head coach for the Dakota Wesleyan men's basketball squad on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And you're going to have a guy that you're going to certainly have to compete with to a certain degree, right? With Matt Wilbur as the new Northern State coach. He knows the area well. You know the area well. Is that going to be kind of a fun competitive deal, kind of going after the same guys to a certain degree in terms of that recruiting?
Yeah, Coach Wilbur's he's a great mentor of mine. Obviously, he gave me the chance to come to Dakota Wesleyan in his last year there. And I kind of joked with him. I said, this job would be a lot easier if you didn't just take the Northern job. But he's going to be a huge mentor of mine. He's going to be someone I lean on a lot. And he's going to help me any way he can, right? And when it comes to recruiting the same players, we're both going to respect each other, but we're also going to do what's best for our program and try to get it done on that end too. So I know it's going to be a challenge going up against him, but I love the thought of kind of competing with a great friend of mine.
And there are two really cool places to watch a game and even call a game. You know, talking about the Corn Palace and, of course, Wachs Arena here at the Barnett Center here in town. What did you learn from Coach Wilbur in that 1 year? You said he's been a great mentor for you. What are some of the things that you learned from him and his tutelage?
Just being grateful for where you are, you know. As a young coach, I was bouncing around and I always had the dreams of moving up. Like that was the only goal. And when I got to Dakota Wesleyan, he really kind of showed me that it is a great place and you can see, a long career there, with the support that we have and also just a work ethic. I mean, he's a relentless grinder and a recruiter and I got thrown into the fire a little bit and I learned every day. And I think the biggest thing I took from him was he showed me how capable I am of being a relentless recruiter, and he showed me what true work ethic is, and I can never thank him enough for that.
So at some point in time, can we expect, I mean, maybe this is more of a Wilbur question anyway, but maybe to you as well, can we expect to see these two teams play each other? You know, sometimes when a coach leaves from a certain place, they play each other, you know, later on down the road, but sometimes those coaches are different then. Can we see like an exhibition affair or kind of a non-conference matchup? Can we expect at some point a D-Dub and NSU matchup? That'd be a lot of fun, I feel like.
Yeah, I think that'd be great for the state. Like you said, whether it was up in Aberdeen or down in Mitchell, I think it would have a lot of anticipation and it would be a really fun environment. There's so much that goes into that, right? Obviously, I need to fill the NAIA schedule and he needs to fill his Division II schedule. schedule. But that is something that has been talked about, and we hope to make that happen, whether it's this year or down the road.
Yeah, last year Northern opened up against Dickinson State for the men's side of things at the Civic, and the women's opened up against the Dakota State squad there also at the Civic. Speaking of Dakota State, that's where the former head coach was. Coach Williamson goes over there to Dakota State, and obviously you know that squad quite well. You know Coach Williamson pretty well. That's usually a really, really fun atmosphere, whether that's at the Corn Palace or there at the Trojan Fieldhouse there in Madison. Is there going to be a little extra buzz for that matchup, or both? Is it just once a year or twice? I think it's twice a year, isn't it, when you guys play those guys? What's that matchup going to look like here in the not-too-distant future with those matchups?
Yeah, this year it's I believe it's a Tuesday, December 2nd, up at their place. That's the only time we have them on the schedule this year. And that's going to be fun. I mean, because everybody knows, all the players know, and I have a lot of respect for Coach Williamson as well. So I'm excited to see it, and I hope there's a lot of royal blue that makes the trip up there, and I know it's going to be a battle.
Yeah, what's that rivalry like? I mean, we see it on the gridiron to open up the season all the time. We see it on the basketball side of things as well, but coaching in a game like that, there's a lot of emotion. There always is with a rivalry like that. What's it like competing in it? What's it like when you're on the sideline there a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, the days leading up to it, you start to feel it, that it means a little more than your other non-conference games. Obviously, there's always a great crowd from both sides, and I think it's just a really fun environment. I try to look at the games with more pressure as a good opportunity to have more fun, you know? There's a lot at stake, and everybody feels it when they walk in, and there's a different level of focus and preparation, and I hope that that continues.
I know on the football side of things, I shouldn't say I know, but I think there's a traveling trophy that goes along with that matchup, right? Should there be a little traveling trophy for the basketball side of things too? I think that'd be kind of fun.
There actually is. I believe it started 2 years ago, and they call it the Battle of the Blues, and it's sponsored by BankWest. And that trophy's sitting in our office right now, and that's the goal, is to keep it there.
All right, very cool. Sam Nicholson, once again, our guest here, head coach for the Dakota Wesleyan men's basketball squad, Fox Sports Aberdeen. It's a great program. It's been around for a lot of years with very, very high levels of success. Are you intimidated? I mean, you're a pretty young guy. I think you're going to be doing just fine. There's no two ways about it. Like you mentioned, you've got a great support system, a great support staff, and I think you're probably ready for that next step is what you're saying to yourself, and I think you probably are, given the fact that you've been in this thing for now a little bit of time. But do you feel pressure now being a head coach from the assistant?
I mean, I think I'd be lying to say that you don't feel the pressure, but the feeling of the pressure comes with a ton of joy and excitement. And we've talked a lot as a team about, I trust these players that we have in the locker room, and I know that they trust me. And yes, there's going to be ups and downs, but overall, I think we've got all the pieces we need to have the success that Dakota Wesleyan has had and continue to build on that.
I think most people would just say, hey, just be yourself. I'm not going to lie to you. 2 years ago, I was named the new voice for Northern State. I felt some pressure to go along with that. I don't think I slept the night before the first game against Bemidji, and definitely felt some pressure. But, hey, pressure is a privilege for sure. And you know what? It's a beautiful thing. And looking forward to the season here. Transfer portal, obviously it's not a thing on the NAIA side of things with an actual quote-unquote portal. There's not a website that you can view in terms of the fans anyway. But is there something that you can check out as a head coach? Do you kind of look to that? But you said you've got a lot of guys that are coming back next year already anyways.
Yep. I would be comfortable with where we're at right now to go out and compete and win a lot of games. But you're always looking. That's the reality of college basketball. And there's a couple, social media has been really good. And there's a couple softwares you can use to get a really good look at who's available. The vetting process takes a little longer at this level. We want to make sure that we're bringing in guys that will represent the team and the community. And I think you can anticipate that there'll be a piece or two added as the summer goes along, but nothing that happens really quick.
Yeah, for sure. And Coach, final one before I get you out of here. What's it like competing in the GPAC, man? I mean, I feel like this is the best conference in all of the NAIA. You've got top-level teams, Dakota Wesleyan included. What's it like competing on a given night in this conference? Because I think it's the best.
Yeah, it's a ton of fun. I mean, that's a big reason why I took the job. I know that you're never going to have an off night. The league is always very, very good at the top, but then at the bottom, it's really, really good. So that's a part of the pressure piece. A lot of leagues that you work in, you've got some nights that you can kind of take a breath and say, hey, we're going to be okay. And with the GPAC, it's every single night you got to be at your best to give yourself an opportunity to win. And that's what it's all about, right? You want to compete at the highest level. You want to go against guys that are just as invested as your program is, and that's the joy in it.
I lied. I got one more for you here. You assisted under Gary Garner. Now, I did play-by-play for presentation for a lot of years. Gary Garner, one of the best to ever do it there at Dakota State. What'd you learn from a guy like him?
Man, Coach Garner, he was the first full-time assistant job that I got, and I only got 1 year with him, but he showed me the ropes, and he had done it for so long at such a high level. I had a tremendous amount of respect for him, and he really showed me what college basketball is. That's kind of the big picture of what I learned from him, but I could talk for hours with you about what Coach Garner taught me. But we stay in touch, and I think he'll be a phone call I'd probably make today, honestly.
Yeah, what a warrior he is, and overcoming through some health things and passing those tests with flying colors. And want to wish him nothing but the best and wish you nothing but the best this upcoming fall and winter. Thanks for being a part of the program, and good luck there for Dakota Wesleyan.
Thank you very much, and go Tigers.
There you go. Sam Nicholson joining us here live on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Fox Sports Aberdeen head honcho for Dakota Wesleyan on the men's basketball front. We appreciate him taking time out of his busy schedule and joining us here on FSA. Coming up next on the show, we're going to recap some of the action from yesterday, a jam-packed high school golf as well as track and field schedule. We're not going to have time to get to all of this, so check it out on our website, hubcityradio.com. We'll get to what time permits after this. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Again, two great guests here joining us with Rusty Rocket in session number one, and in segment two, Sam Nicholson there with our guests here on the program. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, I didn't tell him this, but Sam Nicholson, new head coach for Dakota Wesleyan, you know, he seems like a young guy. I didn't ask him what his age, but just judging from photos, he looks probably late 20s, early 30s, kind of a younger guy. And I think about my time with Presentation College back in the day. They had a new head men's basketball coach, and new at the time, by the name of Jeremy Regal. Now, Jeremy Regal was hired when he was in his early to mid-20s. I think he was 24, 25, something like that, when he was named head coach. Now, obviously, you go through some growing pains in those first early years, but by the time, you know, you kind of round into form, you should have something pretty good. And Coach Regal's last year here at Presentation, 21 wins, a program record. So I think Coach Nicholson might feel some of that pressure, naturally, when you're a young guy. Mid-20s, late 20s, early 30s, I'm not quite sure. I should have asked how old he is. But there's going to be some bumps in the road, absolutely. But pressure is a privilege. I think he's going to be just fine. And I think they've got a great, great support staff. They've got a great bit of community support there as well for that program. And they also play in a really cool place, and talking about the Corn Palace there. And I think that'd be a lot of fun to see Northern State and D-Dub play each other at some point in time there, whether that's at the Corn Palace or here at the BC. Obviously, there's a lot of logistical things that have to go into that sort of thing, but it'd be pretty cool. Or maybe over there at the Aberdeen Civic Arena for an exhibition affair. That would be pretty cool there, too. So our thanks to Sam Nicholson for being a part of the program here today. Once again, it is opening night at Brown County Speedway tonight. Gates at 5 o'clock. Racing begins at 7. That's brought to you in part by us here at Hub City Radio. Speaking of the Hub City, that's where a lot of golf was played yesterday, specifically on the north side of town, as out at Lee Park, another meet down, another victory for the Aberdeen Central Golden Eagles and junior Olivia Braun. That was the story yesterday from Lee Park, as the Golden Eagles collectively won the team title against ESD foe Mitchell and crosstown rival, if that's the right word, Aberdeen Roncalli. Aberdeen Central finished 17 strokes ahead of the Colonels and make it 42 shots ahead of the Cavaliers. Collectively, as a team, they shot 295. That is a team and program record. Man, were they dialed in? That was the case yesterday. For the second time this week, junior Olivia Braun would be the medalist for the event. One under par, 70 for the day, three strokes ahead of her teammate Kylie Weyerbaugh, who finished in second place there, a two over par, 73. Braun was a little up and down in the front nine, but her up was sky high. I think I've probably parred this hole before, but never an eagle. How about the par five, third hole? She picked up an eagle there. She did have three bogeys, but also a pair of other birdies helped her balance things out there a little bit. On the front nine, her teammate Kylie Weyerbaugh tied for second place with Maddie Childs of Mitchell. Kylie picked up birdies on holes 3, 13, and 16. Another Golden Eagle also finished in the top five. Emma Dore placing in fourth there as well. A 3 over 74. Was a gorgeous day to be out there on the links. And also, how about Aberdeen Roncalli's highest finish, Mackenzie Wegehop? She tied for fifth place there. Good stuff for her yesterday. Also tying with Gabby Olson of Watertown. You also had Claire Crawford in the top 10 there as well, tied for eighth place, a 7 over 78. Some really, really good numbers there for the local area athletes. So job well done for Coach Zimmerman and Coach Murdy's squads there yesterday. The LRC meet was held yesterday at Rolling Hills. The Falkton girls would finish in first place, while the Warner boys would win on the second hole of the playoff. On the individual side of things, Falkton's Annika Mueller would finish in first place, carding a 97, and Tucker Cadillac of Ipswich, a 76, good for first place. Check out the leaderboard for full and complete details there. YTC invite was held yesterday. Selby up top for the girls with Sully Buttes for the guys. Seth Hedick, your medalist for the fellas, a 77 from Edmund Central, while Taryn Hedick in first place there for the ladies from Selby area, an 81. Check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for full and complete details there, along with track and field. Have a fantastic weekend.